Welcome back to episode 4 of Real Talk with Sarah. And today we have Johnny Davis with us today talking again about Christian romance. Johnny has a ton of experience with youth and he has some amazing thoughts to share today on purity. So let's jump right in. Johnny, what is your purity teaching background?
I'm really excited. This is a huge topic and I'm really excited to cover it. Personally, so I didn't grow up in a Christian household. I didn't really become a Christian till about a sophomore year in high school. But despite that, my personal purity background, I grew up with all the teachings of, you need to save yourself before marriage to have a good marriage. And, your purity and your virginity and all that is your gift to your wife, in my case, being a man. And all this, and I, to this day, I'm still virgin. I've never struggled with porn, everything like that. And so I've kept a lot of those lifestyle attributes in me, and I grew up with a lot of those teachings. So what we talk about today is coming from an area of not, I've, lived a life where I've messed up, but really I have actually upheld a lot of that and still am finding things that, as we'll talk about, could be worked on how we talk about purity as a culture.
Like a more well-rounded view. And I would like our listeners to know that you're 33 years old and you're a virgin. And so you are coming at this not from downplaying purity, because this is actually something you live out carefully in your own life, but you're saying that there's a more well-balanced view than what is normally taught in the churches. So jump right in, Johnny. Give us some history of your background and how that affects your views today of what is missing in the church's teaching on purity.
And it's so, I won't go too far into this because this could be a whole conversation too, but even just in that, being 33, virgin, all this and not showing pornography, a lot of people are like, oh, that's the dream. But there's even conviction and hardships in that. I think a lot of times it's can become, well, what do I know what I'm talking about when I talk about, people that have slipped up with the purity. And there's all sorts of just different struggles even just in that. In fact, this is probably the first time I'm saying it publicly in a while. It's not necessarily something I hide, but it's all not so. I've never preached a sermon saying it. I've never openly talked about it outside a few choice people here and there. So,
You know, you lead your youth groups and say, "Hey, I've never fallen into this sin."
yeah, I don't do that because a lot of times I remember there was a men's group meeting I was a part of where I did do that really young, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" It was almost like, "Why are you at this then?" Which I have my own struggle. So of course I still need the community, but. The teaching I came up with, I still can remember it pretty clearly, is there was the tissue box is what they'd use. And they'd say, every time that you kiss a girl, hold hands, cuddle, make out, just all the way to the ladder, you're taking a tissue out of this tissue box. And this tissue box represents your purity that you're going to give your wife on the day you get married. It's your gift to her. It's how you're showing your true love and dedication to her. And so forever, it was every time you did anything with a girl, that teaching made you feel like, oh, I'm stealing from my future wife. Which, there's good points to that, but it could create this unnecessary pressure sometimes, especially if you came into the church and didn't exactly live a great life. If you came in later and maybe you already made some mistakes, it did create a lot of pressure and a lot of fear sometimes too, even though the heart behind it was really good.
Not enough encouragement that there are things that can save a marriage and make it just as beautiful in spite
Exactly.
of past mistakes.
Yeah.
So where do you feel the teachings on purity have missed the mark? What would you like to see added to this? Because I know
Yeah.
you're not taking away on the importance of purity. You're adding and saying, "Hey, there's more." Can you expound on that?
Yeah, I think as a whole, at least in the upbringing I've had and everything, sometimes our purity message can be so focused on sex before marriage. And I think a lot of it almost becomes like a fairy tale. Like, again, with the tissue box, if you save yourself before marriage, if you do as little as you can physically with a girl or even emotionally, and you give yourself to that woman at the altar, you're going to have this beautiful, amazing marriage. It's you're fulfilling God's promise in marriage, and it's going to be beautiful. And sometimes they don't even say this, pastors, but it's kind of almost the feeling of they're saying this is the solution to a good marriage. And what I've found, even though I haven't been married, I have a lot of friends that have been married. I've counseled people that have been married, and I've heard it over and over again of that of the actual problems in marriage that arise. That's probably on the bottom of the list. I have a really good friend, and I love how he said this. He said, "Your virginity is not your most important thing you bring into your marriage. In fact, it might be. It's important, but it might be in terms of all the main stuff, one of the least important things because it's going to be one night of your life." And it's actually, the more I've talked to married people, most of them are like, "I don't even, that night is so, was such a blur because everything going on, I don't even remember half of it." But what does come into healthy marriage is things like communication skills, dealing with anger problems. So there's all these other things that happen in a marriage where just because you were a virgin doesn't neglect you from all these other issues that could come alongside. And then on top of that, what they're just focusing so much on your purity is having sex before marriage. You have these people that come in. I was really blessed to be part of a recovery church, and you'd have these people come in that have had a really hard life. Some of them former drug addicts, some of them people that have sold their bodies, all this stuff. And they hear this message, like, "Well, it's too late for me then. How am I supposed to have a great marriage? How am I supposed to dream and hope for this when this is like the gold gem of how you have, your purity is all about that." And when in reality, purity is not just about sex or even physical, it's mental, emotional. Like, purity is so much in you rather than just what you do physically with another person. Where's your heart at? Do you have anger issues? Do you have lust issues? Do you have, like, that's a part of purity. What are your thoughts like? Your whole life, purity is more about the whole life than it is just about a physical action. That's just a tiny part of it. And I think, and for a good reason, I understand the church had a good heart behind all this where, they wanted to make sure young people weren't just going out and having sex and sleeping around. But sometimes when we do things out of fear, we overcompensate, we go way too far to the other side. And I think, at least in my upbringing, Christian, that's what has happened, where we went so far on the other side that now it's starting to have negative effects as well.
Now, you were not raised in a Christian home, though, right?
Nope.
Okay, so where did you get all this teaching that you're talking about?
When I got saved, a lot of youth group stuff, a lot of going to youth group or going to church. When I got saved my sophomore year, I, at least in terms of my friend group, was more of a rarity where I dove headfirst in. It was not a, I went to church a couple times, wasn't sure, came back. It was the minute I said yes to God at a youth conference, I was at church every Sunday, youth group every Wednesday or Friday. I forget what day it was. It's been a while. But I went to everything. I was fully engaged right away. And growing up, I didn't have a lot of those morals. My dad was wonderful, my parents were wonderful, but they didn't have any kind of religious upbringing, so I didn't see any of that in my life growing up. I saw quite the opposite, where, like, most of the quote unquote worldly culture would be, where there were hookups, there were girlfriends that were only there for a couple months and things like that. So it wasn't until I got in the church I started hearing a lot of this teaching.
That makes sense. Yes, and then you very quickly dove into youth ministry as well, from what I remember. And here you are at 33, kind of meshing your experiences in both worlds together and going, hey, something's missing. And as a girl raised in the purity culture, I find this so interesting. I'm fascinated by all of this because if anyone was raised in the purity culture, it was me. And yet I so resonate with your message that virginity is not the most important thing you bring to a marriage. The most important thing you bring to a marriage is emotional intelligence, relational maturity, communication skills, mutual respect and honor, the ability to love selflessly, and just that wonderful thing of being in love, like loving and being in love. The gift of Christian romance should be not just that you are loved, but that you're also able to love back. And it's this mutual love where you just feed each other's soul and spirit. It has less to do with our body and more to do with our soul and spirit. And I'm hearing that's your message here. And I totally, totally resonate with that, I look back to when I got married and I'm like, wow, I was so immature emotionally and relationally. And yet, staying a virgin and staying pure was like top of my priority list, but the other things were neglected. So I do feel very passionate about that. And I really appreciate you bringing up this topic to the church today.
Yeah, and I love what you're saying about growing up and that. Another aspect is on that I was just thinking is it creates almost a fear of sex. That you don't hear that word in church. We don't dare say the word sex in church. That's like saying Satan or something. It's the worst word you could say. And it's created a fear where a lot of these people that I've talked to that came up in the purity culture, there's a certain book that comes to mind that I won't say, but like very much the teaching of, you don't do anything until you get married, which in a healthy way that can be taught healthily, but it became a almost a unintentional fear-mongering way of making people scared of it, where in marriage all of a sudden, okay, now it's okay to do this thing, but you've spent, let's say you got married at 22, you spent 22 years of your life thinking that this thing was evil, that this thing was bad, that only bad people do this, but now all of a sudden it just switches. You're supposed to automatically get rid of all that. Now it's good. And for a lot of people, I know that's hard.
It's why I don't advocate anymore for what we used to call hands-off courtship. I remember, the guy I was dating and married, we never touched. I don't think we even hugged when we were dating. And then, yeah, suddenly we were married. It took some getting used to, and it wasn't what I would think of as a healthy wedding night, and that's some very vulnerable stuff for people to talk about. But I have heard this repeatedly from Christian girls raised in the purity culture, just this extreme difficulty from that one shift to that extreme other shift. Like, I think when we talk about purity, we need to really actually promote that a girl becomes comfortable with her boyfriend or fiance's physical body. You need to enjoy being held by him. You need to hold his hand. You need to physically spend time with each other in each other's presence, not sexually. I'm saying physically. There's a big difference there. And I think one of the things I would like to discuss today on this podcast is, sexual purity is important, and it does start long before sex. I've been in the purity culture, and then I've been out of the purity culture for a while, and I've been really, really distressed by what I see in the dating world. A lot of people are dating now, thinking that they're calling themselves pure, but they're doing way too much. They're not actually having sex, but they think as long as they're not actually having sex, they're virgins when they get married. I disagree with that. I think sexual purity starts long before intercourse. I think sexual purity starts, I'm not going to talk about the exact line nobody should cross or anything like that, but sexual purity starts much sooner than intercourse, and we do well to be careful. And people, when people mess up in this area, it's okay to repent. And it's okay to go to the other person and say, you're sorry, and to make it right. And we are all human. Humans make mistakes. And whatever mistakes anyone makes, they can absolutely be redeemed. Girls, go wear that white wedding dress, even if you've messed up. Go wear that white dress. You're redeemed. You're pure. You're clean. Come to your wedding night with absolutely all of that washed away. And yes, let's stop idolizing virginity to where girls find that almost impossible. And if somebody has messed up, like somebody's lived a sinful lifestyle and they marry someone who's a virgin, because virginity is so idolized, the virgin is often struggling deeply to accept the fact that their spouse has been with other people. And I think part of that is because, yeah, we are supposed to only be with our spouse, right? We are supposed to keep ourselves for marriage, and it hurts when somebody doesn't. But I do think it is so idolized that we actually add to the grief and all of that to where we make it even more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah, I love that point you just made, and I've been thinking about that for a couple years now, just in where I'm at, and I'd love to share kind of my thoughts and things that I went through. So again, I'm not a perfect person. Yes, I have not had sex before marriage, but I've made other mistakes. So just to be clear, I'm not saying that I've never kissed a girl or anything like I'm not that degree. I want to be very clear. Last thing I need is some girl from my high school being like, oh, wait a minute. I want that, but
Get yourself in trouble here.
right. We don't need anything like that nowadays. But no, I love what you said though, because as someone that has not had sex before marriage, and in that sense has abstained, I think, going back to that men's group I was part of, like, well, what are you doing here? It's like I still have struggles. And another thing on my end that I think people in my boat or similar could deal with is, there is that kind of not purposeful, but the shame of like, well, if I'm not a virgin, I can't marry someone that's like that because, they deserve better or just certain reasons here. And a lot of times it's like, I kind of have that back of my head worry of like, man, if I get married to someone who has like, is my inexperience going to make things hard? Is my inexperience going to cause issues? And then on top of that, is it going to cause issues of them feeling worth it? Where it's like, for me, of course, when I marry someone, I'm gonna be like, dude, you are the one. I'm going all in. But I don't want them thinking, well, he's not a virgin and I, or he's a virgin, I'm not, so I shouldn't go for this because he deserves better. Or there's just so many little things I don't think we think about that I've thought that I'm like, man, there's so many little things that it's just such a big issue and but such a big topic that I think everyone across the spectrum has things they struggle with that don't get talked about. So I
Yeah.
love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and there, I know of stories where the guy's interested in a girl and he tells her, I've sinned in this area. Like, I've messed up. I've been with multiple girls here and she hasn't, and she's able to go, well, is that who you still are? And if he's not, and it's under the blood and it's forgiven and washed and he's living a pure lifestyle, he absolutely and totally deserves her. There's nothing like deserving or not deserving. There's walking with God, and are we meant to be together or not? In the purity culture, I've also noticed, there are a daddy-daughter dances where these little virgins are dancing with their daddies, and it's almost like they're some little china doll placed on a mantle, quarantined in their father's house, waiting for the knight in shining armor to come sweep them off their feet forever. The girls are raised that they are created for man, to serve man and to be a helper suitable to that man. So the girls are idolizing man from childhood on up. And then sometimes they wait forever to marry because it's hard for a quarantined girl to find, a man, quote, worthy of her. And then when they do get married, she subconsciously, not because she's selfish, because she was raised to serve and submit, but she subconsciously expects that man to be everything for her because she's taught that she is created solely for him. I mean, for the Lord, but her place on this earth is to serve and bless and make a man happy and have his babies. And when that man fails and messes up, it destroys her because the whole thing has become so idolized. Our focus has become so much on being a virgin, being submissive, being a servant, being created for a man. And Satan loves to do that. He loves to take a really good, beautiful thing and skew it. To where now, when I see these daddy-daughter dances, I'm not talking about, little elementary schoolgirl stuff at school. I'm talking about basically almost like a purity ball, And it's actually a turnoff for me now, Johnny. Like, it's a huge turnoff for me. And I just want to say, hey, girls, this is one aspect of you. I did this too, and I still entered marriage so incredibly naive. What a healthy relationship really needed to thrive. And I did everything I was taught very well But still, that ability to connect my heart and soul to the man I married was completely missing. And now at 43, I'm a completely different person. I still value purity. I still don't sleep around outside of marriage. But that's not my focus anymore. It's like, how can I be the best woman I can be relationally, socially, emotionally? And like I was telling you earlier, just today, I had to apologize to a friend for hurting her deeply by something I said. And so the Lord is working holistically with us. We're supposed to have wholesome tongues, wholesome thoughts. We're supposed to be able to love well. It all comes down to that, doesn't it? We're supposed to be able to love well. And when we're really loving well, it affects how we treat other people. It affects who we sleep with and don't sleep with. You know, love calls us and compels us to save ourselves for marriage. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. You have so much more to say.
I think I want to speak on the guy side of that. What you're talking about with a girl, how it's like they can kind of make an idol out of being like the China doll up on the shelf. But for guys, I feel like there's the pressure of feeling like they have to provide in every single way. And yes, of course, as men, we want to provide, but I've seen men that's like they start to crack under the pressure that, I need to work a super well-paying job right away. I need to be able to like, no one else works, nothing. Like I am able to provide for all the bills and some, and I need to be present every moment and not have any off days. And a lot of that on the men's side can lead to problems as well, where they don't feel like they can share their emotions because they're the man. They're not supposed to have issues. They're supposed to be making the house livable and making the life livable for their bride and their kids. So I think the main theory with all this is you can really make so many things in marriage and relationship idols that the heart could be pure at first, but it can actually start to cause more damage than, intended.
Yes, and the topic of masculinity is huge. I go to a small home church right now, and it's full of blue-collar guys, right? Guys who are out working really hard. Physical manual labor. And you can tell, these guys are manly men, but I was just thinking yesterday, these guys are crying. These guys are sharing their emotions in front of everybody. They're standing up, they're saying, I felt like an idiot because these kids had an accident and I was watching over them, and I feel like everything I touch falls apart. This big, tall, bearded man, they're up there saying this kind of thing. And I'm just thinking, wow, we have so misplaced masculinity. And again, that ties into, it's not just a man's job to be a virgin when he takes a virgin. It's a man's holistically healthy men are able to open up about their thoughts and talk to their girlfriend and their wives and to be a warrior of it when you face the world, but to be vulnerable when you face your woman is so much more than keeping a certain aspect of our sexuality for each other. We're also supposed to be able to expand and broaden and give every aspect of us to each other. Yeah. So good. So good. So, how should we be teaching about sexual purity in today's church? What looks like a well-rounded message that you would want to give before we close out here?
I think personally, you one have to kind of just destroy the fairy tale view of, it's only about virginity. I think we need to teach about emotionally, mentally, physically, all the things of purity. I think kind of what you touched about of emotionally pure, even like being able to share your emotions in healthy ways and being able to, work on your thought life. I think the biggest thing I want to say the most, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, is it should never feel like this pressure. Jesus isn't this demanding, you need to be perfect. And when you're not perfect, I've disowned you. It's like, no. It's a journey, If you've messed up before, God's not saying you've messed up, you're not going to be in my better graces until you completely gotten better and everything's healed. No, he wants to work with you in your mess. So that's really
Wow, that's so
important.
good. Yeah.
He wants to sit with you. Actually, I have my own podcast I just started. I'm about to release an episode about emotions, and I talked about how sometimes we can treat God like a house guest rather than someone that actually owns the house, where we lock off parts of our rooms. We're like, well, no, my room's a mess. Oh, the bathroom's bad. You can go into these rooms. You know, everyone has that when they have guests over. It's like some of the doors are open, but other doors are closed. And I think we can treat God like that because we only want to show him the good parts of us, fearing that he's going to be mad when he sees the bad. It's like, no, he owns the house with you. He actually wants to clean up the mess with you. If anyone on here listening is a parent, you know, when you're first teaching your kid how to clean messes, you're with them. You're sitting there and you're cleaning up with them. God's the same way. And so I think that's really important. I think on top of that, I think with purity is we can be real. We can talk about sex. Sex is not a scary thing.
Yes,
It's very
exactly.
healthy. You
Yeah.
know, I love this pastor in California. I really love listening to, and he raised his kids up, you know, telling his kids from a young age, like, hey, you know, on certain nights of the week, you know, mommy and daddy are going to be busy. Stay over in your room, like openly talking about. So it's not this taboo thing that when you become 21, you're like, oh, my parents never even said the word sex to me, you know, or my church never talked about it. Like, talk about it. And in terms of why it's important not to have sex before marriage, while we're talking about it's not to have a perfectly healthy marriage because there's more to it, there are reasons you shouldn't. It blows my mind how many studies are coming out right now about how having multiple sexual partners or dealing with pornography actually chemically affects you, your ability to have good intimacy, your emotions. It actually affects your physical body, and science is even starting to show that now.
Yes, it shuts people down emotionally, even, I think. Yeah, very much.
And it causes all these other issues. Plus, there's a thing called soul ties. That's huge. Where every time you sleep with someone, you're kind of breaking off a piece yourself, and you're taking a piece of them. And I've seen in my years of ministry so many messy situations like that, where you have someone that has had partners, and God moves powerfully in a meeting, and all of a sudden, some crazy stuff happens. You know, all of a sudden, those things are being broken, and it's messy. You know, praise God, healing, we love it, but it's a messy thing to deal with. And then just go not to go to high school sex ed, but you know, unplanned pregnancy, STDs, there's all these other things that can happen. And so I feel like rather than trying to create our own special fairy tale of why you shouldn't have sex over here, let's just be real. Let's just share. Here's why you shouldn't. It has nothing to do per se with, you know, you'll have the perfect marriage, but here's the things that it will mess you up in other ways if you do this willy-nilly. Like if you just go for it, it's gonna have effects.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah, so true.
Less of trying to scare people and or purposely, but also just being real with them. Like, hey, here's the real situation. You know, whether or not you're a virgin, it won't make your marriage an amazing thing. Takes a lot more work to make an amazing marriage. And in fact, for the first 5 years of your marriage, you're probably going to have to work a lot harder than sermons have told us. You know, you're going to have a lot more struggles than, you know, oh, I'm a virgin and we're happily ever after. No. Your marriage is the start of a story. It's not that they all live happily ever after. The marriage is actually the beginning of the story of building something good. And to build something good, you have to put a lot of work in. And that's a whole nother topic of how to build a healthy marriage, you know. But it takes more than virginity, but at the same time, there's reasons why that's still important to try to uphold. So I think overall, if I were to summarize it, a well-rounded purity message, I think. Again, we can have this knee-jerk reaction out of fear when really, if we just did things, were just upfront and real about it and talked about it, I feel like a lot of these issues would at least lessen, if not like go away completely.
Yes, and I absolutely agree with you about being honest and upfront about these things with our children. My daughters and I have a relationship that is more upfront and open than I ever thought I would have with anyone on this topic. And I really value that. And then the other day, I was listening to a podcast from a life coach, and she had the most candid conversation about sex with a group of women. And I texted her later and I said, you know, I have never heard in my life, I've been waiting my whole life to hear Christian women in leadership have this candid of a talk on sex.
Yeah.
And ironically, this girl was also not raised in the church. And I love listening to her because there is a fresh insight when someone's not raised as a Christian and they become radically saved and they love the Lord and they live for Him. They still have a fresh look on things because they don't have all of those religious cobwebs in their head.
Yep.
In fact, this woman, she'll say, Christians are weird. Christians are so weird about romance. They can't even be human anymore. You know, like they can't just talk about sex and they can't just fall in love and they can't just treat each other well. Like there's all of these cobwebs and labyrinths in their brains about everything and hangups. So I very much agree. And to all of our listeners, like talk to your children. Don't have sex be a taboo topic. You know, if you're married, let your children see you kiss each other and hug each other. And physical affection should be the norm in every household. Daily physical affection should be the norm in every household in front of children. And then just candid conversations about all of it and celebrate sex. Sex should be a celebratory thing in the church, but so much of it is women cover up so men don't lust because men are pigs. And if you show any kind of a curve, the men will lust. So basically wear a box so you have no shape so the men don't have to lust, which then makes a girl feel dirty about her body and makes her feel like men are some sort of evil monsters. And she's a problem as soon as she walks in the room. I'm talking because I was raised in the purity culture. I know what that did to my brain and how I could not even look men in the eye when I spoke to them. For the longest time as a teenage girl, I had the hardest time looking a guy in the eye. That's not normal. Okay. That is not normal. It is not healthy. It is a far cry of what God wants His daughters to be like. He wants us to shine. He wants us to glow. He wants us to be lit up. This is our season. You know, we are Esthers here. We're called to this generation for such a time as this. We are given a voice. We're given immense wisdom when we tap into it because we not only have our walks with God, we have the added benefit of intuition. Our minds were created to be an asset to the minds around us, you know? And so we are so much more than something sitting on a mantle, waiting for some perfect guy to come pick us up because we've been quarantining ourselves our whole life. No, we're created to be warriors, to be teachers, to be, yes, servants and mothers and kind and serving those around us, but there is so much more than what we do. There's who we are, and who we are is so much more than how pure we keep our bodies. It's also how much we cultivate our mind, our spirit, our soul. Are we lit up? Are we on fire? Are we active in our minds? And can our mouths speak wisdom, or are we shut down and boxed down and covered up and locked up? You know, and before anyone gets the wrong picture, I believe in modesty. I believe in no sex outside of marriage. I'm an advocate for all of those things. But there's this other side that people like Johnny, who was not raised in the church, and the other life coach I'm talking about, they come into the church and they're like, whoa, something's very missing. Christians need to normalize and humanize certain things and quit spiritualizing all things because God is spirit and He created humanity for the honor and glory of His spiritual realm. So in a sense, it's all spiritual.
Yeah. Christians definitely are weird. As you said, I just laughed because I, especially, you know, not to give away when we're recording this, but it's the eclipse day and I just get so entertained about how many things we're seeing about that. But just thinking about it, I was like, man, you know, I think the biggest hang up or roadblock sometimes us Christians can have in terms of reaching the world, it is our fellow Christians. Some of just the weird things we see. I love that you said that, because that's so good.
Yeah, I really feel that way. I do not want to spiritualize everything. I want to look at the way people are designed by a creator God to be. How do humans thrive? Humans thrive in community. Humans thrive in love relationships. Humans thrive best in marriages. And I didn't get to toss this into your conversation, but back to sex, even secular studies show that couples with the most satisfying sex are monogamous. You know, it's not boring. It is not boring to do what God asks us to do. Even secular studies and our makeup, our biological makeup, it all comes back to what God asks us to do, his good and perfect and pleasing will, because he designed us to thrive best in that. And so if secular studies show that monogamous couples have the most satisfying sex life after many years, you know, it all just ties back to scripture. God's way is so good. He never deprives us of something we think we need or want. He's inviting us into the best thing that we never even knew we wanted, but we actually truly need. Oh. So good. I absolutely love this topic. Do you have any more thoughts you want to share before we sign off?
Not that's, but it just didn't wrap up. I love these conversations. I'll keep coming back as long as you have me. These are always so fun. Another thing, I just started my own podcast where it's kind of similar, where I cover all sorts of topics and it's very conversational. I just started it, but it is on Spotify, and as of today, it should be on Apple. It's called the Unfinished Podcast. So if you're interested in these kind of conversations, go check it out. There's a Facebook page as well. But yeah, I love having these conversations, and it's really exciting that we get this info out there for to help people and kind of demystify so many of these topics that the church kind of either stays quiet on or over spiritualizes.
Yes, demystify. I love that. So, everyone, find more of Johnny Davis on his new podcast over on the Unfinished Podcast. You'll find that on Apple and Spotify. I will absolutely be listening to that myself. I can't wait to plug it into my headphones when I'm at work and listen up, because there's always amazing thoughts to share from a really fresh perspective of someone who was not raised in the church and now just has a huge heart for God, for holiness, for people, but from a non-religious perspective and more from a relational perspective, which is what I'm always promoting. God is all about relationship. He died for relationship. He created us for relationship. So find your tribe, love them hard. Go out, be healthy humans, say yes to God, and be invited into the best that He has for you. See you next time.